You're listening to VCJ, Victoria College Chat.
Physics GCSE Part 1. Part 1 split up into Part 1A, Part 1B. In Year 9, we test 1A and 1B as separate multiple choice exams. In Year 10, we lump them together. You do a single exam, takes 45 minutes. It's short answers. That means the answers want to be short sentences. Better if they're sentences, but they don't have to be great, elaborate, long explanations. You've only got 45 minutes. Let's start with 1A. 1A is mostly about heat transfer. There's three ways of transferring heat. What are those three ways? Convection, conduction, radiation. You've only got three things to remember. It's pretty straightforward. Number one, convection. Probably the hardest one to get your head around. Convection occurs in fluids. What's a fluid? Well, most people think a fluid is a liquid, but in physics, a fluid is a liquid or a gas. Basically, a substance where the atoms are free to move around. How does convection occur? Well, the atoms get hot. Anything that gets hotter tends to move a bit more. These atoms, they're free to move around, so they bounce around a bit faster. If they're bouncing around faster, they end up taking up more space. Anything that takes up more space for the same mass has a lower density. You should remember that from Year 7. Lower density means it floats. You should also remember that from Year 7. So that means that when something gets hot, when a fluid gets hot, its particles bounce around more, they take up more space, the density goes down, and it floats. It goes upwards. Hot air rises. Not all that tough. Once your hot air has risen, it can't leave behind a hole, so the cold air from roundabout has to come in and take over. That cold air gets hot, that rises. More cold air comes in from the side, that gets hot, that rises, and you end up with it going round in a loop. You've seen that loop. We demonstrate it in school with the purple dye going round the big glass loop. You've all seen it. Things moving around more take up more space, lower density, they float. Warm water floats because it's lower density than the cold water around it. It goes up, it rises, it floats. Conduction. What's conduction? Conduction occurs in solids. Get that one in your head. Conduction occurs mostly in solids. Well, in a solid, of course, the atoms, the molecules, they're not free to move around. All they can do when they get a bit hotter is jiggle about a bit more. They vibrate more. In most solids, once one end starts to vibrate more, it's attached to the next atom, that's attached to the next atom, that's attached to the next atom, that's attached to the next atom. First one vibrates, makes the next one vibrate, makes the next one vibrate, and the heat slowly spreads along the solid, just by one atom making the next one vibrate a bit more. Heat gets passed along. Heat is just the atoms moving faster. In this case, vibrating, because they ain't allowed to move about. There is a complication. Most things are fairly rotten conductors of heat, but metals turn out to be very good conductors of heat. Metals are good conductors of electricity. They're good conductors of heat for exactly the same reasons. What's that reason? They've got free electrons. Well, that's obvious in electricity, isn't it? Free electrons, free to move about. Well, we know electric current is electrons moving around. Free electrons means that electricity can be conducted through a metal. Most other solids, the electrons are tightly connected to the atoms or the molecules that make the solid up. Not in metals. There's free electrons, they wander about. Obvious. How does it work with conduction of heat? Well, very similar way. The electrons themselves can get hot, so the electrons start to bounce around a lot faster. If the electrons are bouncing around faster, they bounce around and they bounce from one end of the bit of metal to the other end of the bit of metal, and they transfer that heat as they do so. So heat transfer in metals is much faster than it is in non-metals because the free electrons can get hot. The free electrons can move throughout the solid, taking that extra heat with them. Straightforward. Last one, radiation. Everything radiates. I'm radiating. I'm sitting here. I'm radiating heat away from me. Radiation is heat transfer by waves. Quite what those waves are at GCSE, you don't really care. It turns out, actually, that most things are radiating in the infrared, which is why we can't see the fact that I'm sitting here radiating. My eyes don't pick up the infrared. But you can do it with infrared cameras, and you've probably seen infrared cameras doing exactly that on the TV. So how does radiation take heat away? Again, we don't really care. All we know or care about is that radiation is taking heat away. It can also deliver heat. Anything at the same temperature as its surroundings is radiating heat away and yet receiving heat from all of its surroundings. So it ends up not actually gaining or losing anything. If it's hotter than its surroundings, it radiates a bit more than its surroundings does and it ends up losing heat. If it's colder than its surroundings, it absorbs a bit more heat from its surroundings than it is radiating away and it ends up gaining heat. Hotter than its surroundings, loses heat by radiation. Colder than its surroundings, gains heat by radiation. Obvious. Any little wrinkles in radiation? Yeah, there is a slight complication. It differs depending on the surface. It's not all that hard. Black absorbs heat better than white does. Dull absorbs heat better than shiny does. Not all that difficult. The hard bit is remembering that it does the same way the other way around as well. It absorbs heat better, it radiates heat better. It absorbs heat worse, radiates heat worse. Shiny cans, hot water, don't cool down as fast as black cans of hot water because the black can radiates better. A shiny tin of ice water won't warm up as quickly as a black tin of ice water because the black is absorbing radiation better than the shiny is. If it radiates well, it absorbs well. If it absorbs poorly, it radiates poorly. Right, what sort of exam questions can you expect to see? Well, usually the exam questions are actually going to be about containing, controlling heat transfer. Generally, they're going to be questions about how to insulate a house. If you're heating your house, you don't want to spend lots of money on that house losing all of that heat out through the walls, out through the doors, out through the windows, out through the roof. So you've got to do something about that. And you put in insulation. And the vast majority of insulation is trapped air. So want to get in your head, trapped air. Got that in there? Trapped air. Because air is a terrible, terrible conductor of heat. It's not a very good radiator either because it's a gas. Gases don't radiate very well. But it can, of course, convect, unless you trap it in place, because convection is the movement of a fluid. If that fluid is held in place, trapped in little bubbles, can't convect. Trapped air, absolutely brilliant insulator, doesn't let heat through, bad at conduction, bad at convection because it's trapped in place, bad at radiation, trapped air, brilliant insulator. Why do you fill your wall cavities up with foam? Because if they were just air, the air could convect. Fill it up with foam, air can't convect, great insulator. Why are your carpets fluffy? They trap air in place. Why do you put thick layers of fluffy stuff in the loft to stop heat going out through the roof? Because it traps air in place, and trapped air is a great insulator. Trapped air. Why is double glazing double glazing? Because you've got a thin gap of trapped air between the two bits of glass. It stops conduction through one bit. It's fine, it conducts through one bit. It's then got a layer of trapped air that it can't conduct through very easily. So the conduction doesn't occur anything like as strongly as it would with a single pane of glass. Trapped air. All insulation is about trapped air. Questions quite often turn up are about cost of putting in insulation. They tell you how much the insulation costs. They tell you how much money you save per year on your heating bills, and they ask you, how many years is it going to take to get your money back? It costs you £400 to have a cavity wall insulation put in. Saves you £60 a year. How long before you get your money back? 400 divided by 60? Turns out to be 6 and a bit. So in 7 years, you're going to have your money back. Not all that hard. Hardest question you'd like to see. Do 400 divided by 60. Straightforward.